You know, I started last week a series on called Follow the Spirit, and so that's what we're going to talk about and continue on it today. I mentioned last week that I don't know everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit. I think anybody who says or acts as if they do know everything about the Holy Spirit probably have it wrong. That there's just, you know, there's so many facets about the Holy Spirit that we continue to learn individually as well as corporately. And I do know some things about the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just sharing a little bit of, you know, kind of my journey and heart. You know, if I could do something, it would be to encourage you to open your heart and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And we're going to, at the end, we're going to sing an old song. I actually sent it to Sarah. She didn't know the song. And she's too young to know the song. But we're going to sing an older song of just invitation to the Holy Spirit to continue to do His work in our life. You know, here's the theme verse that I'm working from. It's found in Galatians chapter 5. It says this, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Interesting thing here. One, the English Standard Translation says to keep in step with the Spirit. I really like that, the way they put that. But notice what it says. Put that back up, would you? Notice what it says. To follow the Spirit's leading what? In every part of our life. That's pretty encompassing. You know, every part's like not just in your prayer life, not just in, you know, your husband or wife or whatever. It's like in every part of your life. There's not a part of your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, there's not a part of your life that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to have guidance in and direct and have His work being done in it. And, you know, your parenting, you know, grandparenting, your finances, what happens to you at work, what happens to you in the neighborhood. There's not a part of your life, there's not a piece of your life that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be involved in. That's what Paul says. He says, let the Holy Spirit, you know, follow the Holy Spirit in every part of your life. And so I want you to grab a hold of that. Last week I talked about I'm not going to review, but last week I talked about that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a power, not a ghost. And so I went through the whole litany of things that the Holy Spirit is not, but the Holy Spirit is a person. And I use this little line from A.W. Tozer, and I had us repeat it, but I'm going to use it a couple times today. And it goes like this: all of God does all that God does. When the Father's at work, the Holy Spirit's at work, and Jesus' work. And, you know, you can just put it any way. Everything, all of God does all that God does. And so, and this can get confusing, because sometimes we'll say, well, Jesus did this. And that's how we talk. We say, well, Jesus talked to me. Jesus spoke to me about it. Well, Jesus did speak to me, but so did the Father and so did the Holy Spirit. I mean, we it's interchangeable, because all of what God does, all that God does, all of God does all that God does. And so whenever something's happened in your life, it's not one part of the Trinity that's doing it. It's all of God that's doing it. And one of the common ways that the Holy Spirit works is that He speaks to people. So that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today, is He speaks to people. And here's just a couple of verses. Hebrews says this: this is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled and when they tested me in the wilderness. It says, this is what the Holy Spirit says. Or this is Jesus' words. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard, and He will tell you about the future. So it's the Holy Spirit that speaks. Jesus speaks, the Father speaks, because all of God does all that God does. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about this. And you know, right from the very beginning, God revealed Himself as a speaking God. Right, was the first thing that happened in the creation story. God spoke, and everything was created. He just spoke and it was created. He spoke and it was created. He spoke and it was created. And then not only did He speak and it was created, but after He created it, He spoke over it. And what were the words that He commonly said? It was good. It was good. He spoke over the creation. And then, in Genesis, then He spoke to Adam and Eve. And Satan's test on Adam and Eve, what was it about? It was not about God, you know, this or that, or, you know, a bunch of temptations. But what was it about? To tempt them, or to try them, were they going to believe what God spoke? It was not about something God did, but it was about what God said. Again, because God speaks. He spoke to Cain, he spoke to Noah, he spoke to Abraham and Isaac and Joshua and Samuel. He spoke through dreams to Joseph and Jacob. He spoke to Pharaoh through the miracles and the voice of Aaron and Moses. Moses, it was the burning bush, the children of Israel, it was manna and quail and water from the rock and fire and cloud. Balaam, it was through a donkey. Elijah, it was a gentle breeze, which we might get to today. And Jonah, a storm and a giant fish. And angels visited Daniel. And there's handwriting on the walls with Belshazzar. And the apostle John had visions. I mean, just the Bible is a whole catalog of some of the ways God speaks. I could say, honestly, God speaks in thousands of different ways. And that's constantly one of the things that God's busy doing. He does it through in and through nature. He does it through situations and circumstances, through trials. But the primary way God speaks is through the Scriptures. And that's one of the primary ways God speaks, if not the primary way God speaks. And everything that God says has to agree with the Scriptures. Anytime someone says, God told me, and it doesn't agree with the Scriptures, God didn't tell them that. Okay? It's not true. God did not tell them that. And I could spend the day telling you all kinds of crazy things that people said God told them, and it doesn't line up with the Word. God never told them. I don't know where they got it from, you know. And the reality of sticking to the Scriptures and that God only speaks according to the Scriptures, there are all kinds of cults, and there have been for centuries around the world, where people hear God say something, it doesn't line up with the Scriptures, and yet that's how you get a cult. And whether it's Joseph Smith, whether it's Mary Baker Eddy, whether it's David Koresh, or it's Jim Jones, we could put all kinds of names in there. They all heard from God, but what they heard from God didn't line up with the Scriptures, so they didn't really hear from God. They either heard from themselves, or they heard from some other spiritual source, but it wasn't God. Because everything God, the Holy Spirit, speaks lines up with the Scriptures. It always does. I mean, why would the Holy Spirit give us the Word? Because that's what the Word says. The Word was given through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Why would He give us the Scriptures and then tell us something totally different? He's not confused. He's not schizophrenic. He's not double-minded. So He always speaks. Everything the Holy Spirit would prompt, everything the Holy Spirit would say, it always lines up. And so, because the Holy Spirit is a speaker and speaks, then one of the primary things that needs to be a part of your life and mine is listening. So that's really what we're going to talk about today, is listening. And it is this whole idea of taking a posture and an attitude and a practice of learning, of listening, it does not come natural. It just doesn't come natural. And we all know that. That's why we have all kinds of instructions about listening. And I mean, we're by nature, we are not listeners. And so there's all kinds of things that I want to talk to you about today about listening. And if you want to know what the Spirit's telling you, if you want to know what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about, you have to have a life habit of trying to figure out how to listen. You know, 40 years ago Barbara and I left Youth with a Mission to get married. The last thing that happened right before we left was some of the leadership of Youth with a Mission at the LA base got around us and around me and laid hands on me and prayed for me. And I can still remember, I've held on to this over all the years. I've come back to it so many times, is that someone prayed. It was Sean was the guy that prayed it. And he said, Father, I just pray that Matt would have this uncanny ability to know what the Holy Spirit's saying. Now, do I always have an uncanny ability to know what the Holy Spirit's saying? I wish that were the prayer had been fully answered. It hasn't. But over the 40 years, now as I pray for pastors, I did it this week, you know, prayed for a couple of pastors at a meeting I was at in town. One of my prayers has been, Lord, give them an uncanny ability to hear what the Spirit's saying. Because I want that in my life, and I want it. When I've prayed, you know, at ordination services, Brenda, I don't even know where Brenda's at. She's somewhere here. When we prayed for Brenda at ordination a couple of years ago, you know, laying hands and just, again, I want people who are in leadership, especially, and you understand that, leadership and I want them to have an uncanny ability to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. But it's a prayer I want for all of us. That we would just have this ability to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. And the longer I walk with Jesus, the more time I spend listening and the less time I spend talking. And I don't know about you, but that has to be a part of our lives, is just to take a position of listening. I mean, it's easy to say, well, I'm going to pray for a half hour. It's easy to talk for a half hour. You know, you got a whole list of people. You're praying for your wife. You're praying for your kids. You're praying for your grandkids. You're praying for the people you work with. You're praying for your neighbors. You're praying for your mom, your dad, your cat, the dog, the fish. I mean, you could pray for a half hour. You could pray for a half hour without ever stop talking. But you just told God all the things that he should do. But what about God speaking to us? Letting God talk to us. Letting God, you know, that we would hear from him. And it requires this commitment to listen. And again, we're not very good at this. How many times have we heard the comments where, you know, the statements where someone would say, you're not listening? You ever say it as a parent? You're not listening. You're not listening. Or we might say to someone, stop interrupting and listen. Or they won't listen. We say, complain. They just won't listen to me. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways we say that. What are we saying? We're saying people just don't want to listen. You know, the Bible equivalent is where Jesus said, and he said this multiple times, he said, anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying. Listen to that line for a second. Anyone who has ears, well, I think that's all of us in this room that have ears, right? But he didn't say, let all of us who have ears hear what the Spirit's saying. What did he say? Let all of us who have ears to hear, all of us, everyone who will listen, let them hear what the Spirit's saying. Because just because you have ears doesn't mean you hear. Otherwise, we would not be talking about listening right now. Because you all got ears. And, you know, one time we were on vacation with the Schoonovers in Eastern Washington. We went to visit Kathy and LaRue. Some of you that have been around a long time will remember Kathy and LaRue. They pastor in Kettle Falls. They've been there, I don't know, 20 plus years. And anyway, we went to dinner at a pizza place, and we're sitting in this pizza place, and we're sitting in the booth, as I remember, and looking over, and right kind of where Burl's sitting was this guy, and he had this, like, this big old honking ear on his head. And I'm wondering, what in the world is going on here? You know, it's like he got an ear, in my mind, he got an ear transplant, you know, and it was the wrong size ear for his head. We just had this big old ear. And then I come to find out later, because we had a wrestler that was part of our church. Now he lives in Denver. But we had a wrestler who had cauliflower ear. You guys know what that, from wrestling and the injury. And I come to find out that's what that guy had. But it was just like, because his ear had been injured. But I was thinking, you know, over the years, I thought, until I figured it out, I thought, I wonder if he can hear better because he's got a big ear. And if it were true, then I'd like to have bigger ears. Because I want to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. Amen? I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. And so he says, anyone who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit's saying. When we first moved to Whidbey Island, someone in Bellevue had said, when you go to the community, join one of the social service organizations. And so we got here to the island, and immediately I joined Kiwanis. And I had no idea what Kiwanis was, but I joined Kiwanis. And it was interesting, the first, you know, little while, the first couple of months, whatever, at Kiwanis, these guys would regularly, because they were all way older than me. I was 27, and, you know, some of them were 40, and some of them were 50, some were 60, some were 80, you know, so, and even the 40-year-olds at 27 were way older than me. They were old guys. Now I are one, right? But I remember these guys would joke about when they're driving in their cars with their wife, and they would joke about having their hearing aid and be able to turn their hearing aids down, you know, while their wife's talking. And I thought, wow, I did not know that's what hearing aids were for. You know, you didn't want to listen, so you just turned it down. And, you know, and she could keep talking, you nod your head. And of course, somebody would tell this story, and then in Kiwanis, like most social service organizations, they would fine you for that story. It was their way of making money and having fun. But they'd fine it. But I had no idea that that's how people use their hearing aids. And hearing aids are supposed to help us hear, not to stop us from hearing. Let me give you a couple of overall principles regarding the Holy Spirit speaking. I'm just going to give you two of them, and you could argue with me about these, but it's not worth your time, okay? Here's principle number one. Everything God speaks is in keeping with his goal of making me and others like Jesus. Everything God says somehow is connected to this idea, because God's ultimate goal is to make the followers of Jesus like Jesus. That's God's ultimate goal. Here's what Paul said in the book of Romans. He said, God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. He wants to make you and me like Jesus. So everything the Holy Spirit says plays some part in me becoming like Jesus, or you becoming like Jesus, or both of us becoming like Jesus. Everything the Holy Spirit says. If it's a word of discipline, it's about me becoming like Jesus. If it's a word of encouragement, it's about me becoming like Jesus. If it's a word of guidance to, you know, do this or do that or give this or say this or, you know what, it's always about me becoming like Jesus and helping other people become like Jesus. And the second one that goes right along with it is that everything that God speaks somehow is connected to his work of reconciling people who are away from him to him. Here's what he said. Here's the purpose Jesus came. He said, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. There's a great line. No longer counting people's sins against them. Not because he just said, oh, it doesn't matter. No, but because of what Jesus did. And it says he gave us this wonderful ministry, message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors, and God is making his appeal through us when we speak for Christ. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So two overarching principles about the Holy Spirit speaking. He's always at work to make me and you like Jesus, and he's always at work to bring people that are out of redemption, outside of God's family, to bring them in. Come back to God, to bring people to where they would walk with God. That's what he's always up doing. So let me talk for a few minutes here about because how many of you would like to hear the Holy Spirit speak more clearly? I think we would just all say, yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I want it. But there's difficulties in it. So I want to talk about some of the difficulties of listening, of difficulties of hearing what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. Because there's things I've prayed for, and like, Holy Spirit, I wish you'd, I want to know. And, you know, you don't get the answer right away, you know, whatever it happens to be. But there's a number of difficulties in this whole area. So let me talk about these difficulties and how consistently that you and I sense the work of the Holy Spirit, and how consistently we hear what the Holy Spirit's saying is really not in the Holy Spirit's control, but it's in our control. Follow me here on this. Because we can't get the Holy Spirit to speak louder. What we have to do, because the Holy Spirit speaks, and we'll talk about, you know, some of this in a few minutes, and if not today, we're going to do part two next week. But the Holy Spirit speaks, but our ability to hear the Holy Spirit is really about our removing the distractions from the Holy Spirit wanting to speak to us. They don't get used a whole lot anymore, because now we just sit, you know, somebody just says, you know, it just left my mind because I don't have it in my house, but Siri. Siri, turn on the lights. We were at someone's house the other day, and they said, Siri, turn on the lights. Siri didn't hear them. And then they said, Siri, turn on the lights. Lights still didn't come on. Third time. See, Siri doesn't even know how to listen well. I mean, Siri has a listening problem. But then the third time they said, Siri, turn on the lights. And the lights came on. And as much tech as I know, I've never been in a room where, you know, just Siri, turn on this whole thing. My grandkids say they, you know, that... that they say, Siri, turn on the music, and the music comes on. You know, that some of my kids have it. And but anyway, that idea of turning up or a rheostat, you know, the dimmer switch, we call them dimmer switches, but they're called rheostats. You know what they do is just control the resistance. That's what they do. They don't control the flow of electricity into the lights. You know, like you want to dim the lights in your house or you want to turn them up. When you turn them up or turn them down, that's not changing the flow of electricity into, you know, the wiring. It's not like, oh, well, we got less electricity now. If that were true, we'd have a lesser electrical bill when we turned it down. We got the same electrical bill whether you turn it up, turn it down, full blast, or it's on dim, okay? What it does is it increases or reduces the resistance. That's what it does. So if you just think about, you know, if you just think about it as a water channel, you know, it's either the water's going full bore in there or it's still the same amount of water, but now it's being restricted, okay? So think about it that way. It restricts. And so in our lives, there are things that restrict us from hearing from the Holy Spirit. And we need to remove those restrictions. In a sense, we need to turn the rheostat of our heart and our life up. So I'm going to, again, talk for a few minutes about some of those things. One of them is, and it should be obvious to all of us, is sin. When we hold on to things we shouldn't hold on to, when we hold on to things God wants out of our life, wanted us to get rid of a long time ago, whatever, when we hold on to those things, then here's what happens. God can't hear us. I don't know how that works, but God doesn't hear our prayers, and that's how it describes it, and we have a harder time hearing from God. Here's what Psalm says. David said in Psalms. He said, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. If I had not confessed my sin, he would not have listened to me. But I confessed my sin and he listened to me. It removed it, you know. Having this sin in my life acts as a rheostat in the sense that it restricts what's going on between me and God. It doesn't turn it off, but it restricts it. But when I confess my sins, the restriction gets removed or lessened. Does that make sense? And so, and one of the great promises in the scripture is, this. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. This is how I memorize it. I don't remember if it's this. I memorize it this way. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why Jesus in the Lord's Prayer said, forgive us our debts every day. It was anticipated that every day there would be some level of confession in your life every day of things because you don't want any restrictions there. You just don't want the restrictions there. And unconfessed sin somehow prevents God from hearing us, but it also prevents us from hearing God. Think about it this way. When we've got something in our life that we know shouldn't be there, we don't want God to speak to us. Because if we got something in our life that shouldn't be there, what's God going to talk to us about? He's going to talk to us about that thing. And I don't want God talking to me about that thing. So I would rather have restriction. That like, I don't want to hear what God has to say. Because the first thing God's going to say is, buddy, you need to take care of this. Now, that's how he talks to me. Okay, he might have different words for you, but that's what he's going to talk to us about. But, and you know, it's like the spiritual elephant in the room. We don't want to hear what God has to say because there's this thing, but we just want it all to be avoided. You know, you've been in those conversations, haven't you, with someone? And like, you know there's something you need to talk about and there's something in the way in your relationship, but you can't really talk about it. So you just talk around it. You know, you kind of beat around the bush, and we call it the elephant in the room. You know, where you're just like, you know, you kind of go, you know, around, and because you never really get to the whole thing. And sometimes, we put ourselves in the position that of even keeping talking to God, because if we can keep praying to God and don't have to listen to what God, we can tell God all the things we want God to do and all the people that need your help and all that stuff. We can say all those things without ever having God speak to us about our stuff because we're talking. You know, one time I asked Barbara if I could tell this story, so I have her permission. When we were in high school, we were buds in high school. I mean, we're still buds today. So, but we were buds in high school. And one time, Barbara called and she said, hey, there's this movie playing at the theater. You want to go watch it with me? It was on a Thursday night or whatever. It happened to be Wednesday night. And it was this kids' movie. And so I said, yeah. And so we went to the movie. We watched this movie. It was a great little movie. It was so fun. And I can still remember pictures of the movie today. And so we watched this movie. And that weekend, or maybe the next weekend, whatever it was, Barbara was going with her boyfriend to the prom at another school. And before the prom or after the prom, whatever it happened to be, so they were driving to Portland, which was about 45 minutes away from our hometown. So they were driving to Portland to go to dinner. And so they're get in the car and they're driving, and you know, Barbara's, you know, chatting with her boyfriend, and then she starts telling him about this movie. And then she realizes, I'm in trouble, because he's gonna ask who I went to the movie with. And when I say I went with Matt, that's gonna be the end of it. So she realized, what I have to do, I just gotta keep talking. Because as long as I can talk and describe this movie and, you know, all the things, as long as I can do that, he's not going to ask me because he's not going to interrupt me. And she just kept talking and telling him about this movie and every little detail she could find. And eventually she ran out of details and he said, oh, who did you go to the movie with? And she said, well, I went with Matt. He never talked to her the whole rest of the night. They went to dinner. They ate dinner. They drove 45 minutes home. He dropped her off. They never talked. But she kept talking. Why? Because she didn't want the question to be asked. And sometimes that's what we do in prayer. We just keep talking because we don't want God to talk to us about that thing we know he wants to talk to us about. Everybody with me? And so, and if you hold on to it, if you hold on to it, you know, that thing, if you just keep holding on to it. See, I'm not talking about us being perfect. I'm not talking about you being perfect, because if it comes down to us hearing from the Holy Spirit because we're perfect, none of us would ever hear from the Holy Spirit. The human race would have never, will never, would have never, and will never hear from the Holy Spirit. But, so it's not about being perfect, but it's about removing resistance. And one of the ways we do that is through confession. Here's what David said. This is after Nathan the prophet came to him. If you remember the story, Nathan the prophet comes to David, and you know it's about David and Bathsheba and the, you know, the sin. He says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt and purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. And he goes on. He says, purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again, for you have broken me. When I first became a believer 40-plus years ago, one of the songs that was sang at that time, just because it was the time period, was it out of Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and make a right spirit within me. And we would sing that song. And it was just this plea that God would do his work inside of me to remove, to all of us, to remove, and I see a whole bunch of you shaking your head because you know that song. I mean, you know, and today, if Sarah were to sing, do you know that song, Sarah? No, she doesn't know that song. But if she were to sing it, it seems so slow. You know, now that I sing it, it just seems so slow to the music we have today. But the message or the thrust of it was, God, create in me a clean heart so that the resistance gets removed so I can hear from you, Holy Spirit. So if we're holding on to something, again, if we're holding on to something, then what we have to do, we have to confess it. You just go, God, yeah, I know you want to deal with me about, you know, the way I've been talking to my wife or my kids or the way I've been not spending my money or the way I have been spending my money, whatever it is that God, again, because God's goal is not to punish us. God's goal is to transform us. That's always God's goal. So when he says, you know what, you need to get rid of that, he says you need to get rid of that, or he says you need to do that, and he says you need to do that. It's because those are the things that he wants to work on to make us more like Jesus. Because that's always his ultimate goal. You know, when Moses consecrated the Levites and the priests, you know, so that they're, if you're not familiar with the whole Levites and priests, they were the religious leaders during the Old Testament days. That's what we're talking about. And when they were supposed to be prayed for and consecrated, which means set apart for that position of being a spiritual leader, they were instructed to put blood on three parts of their body. Okay? Three parts of their body they were instructed to put blood on. One was their toe, their big toe. One was their thumb, and one was their ear. Now, that's weird. But there's a message involved. Dr. Paul Brandt talks about there's a message involved. He says, the blood was put upon, as they were consecrated, I'm setting you apart to serve as a leader in the, you know, in this the Jewish religious system. I'm setting you apart to do that. And they put the blood on the toe so that they would know, or the idea being that they would know where they were supposed to go. And on the thumb, so they would know when the Spirit spoke to them about what they were supposed to do. And on the ear, it was so that they would know what the Holy Spirit was trying to say to them. So that they could hear it, they could do it, and they would go where the Holy Spirit wants to go. Well, if he did that with Old Testament, you know, priests and Levites and priests, then the blood of Jesus does a similar kind of thing. And if you just think about it that way, Jesus puts his blood on our ear so that we can hear what God's wanting to say to us. He puts his blood, he sets us apart, and so that he puts his blood on our thumb so that we can know what he wants us to do, and he puts his blood on our toe so we can know where we're supposed to go. It's part of the work of Jesus' sacrificial blood. He was the sacrificial lamb. He's a greater, Hebrews, he's a greater high priest, he's a greater prophet, he's a greater everything. That's what Hebrews is all about, the book of Hebrews. It's about Jesus is greater than, he's better than everything that existed before. Well, if he's a better sacrifice, and he's a better priest who does the sacrifice, and if he's a better consecrator than the Old Testament consecrators, wouldn't he put blood on our ear, on our thumb, and on our toes? Everybody get it? I mean, he would do that because that's what he's wanting to do in our life. I think I'm going to stop right there. I got so much more good stuff. We'll pick up. This might end up being 3 weeks. We're gonna say a prayer in just a second. And Sarah, why don't you come? And we're gonna sing a song. I don't do this very often. Can't even tell you the last time I did this, but I want to recommend a book to you. And so throw that slide, that next to the last slide. If I had the money, I would buy every one of you a copy that wanted it, a copy of this book. It is so good. Mark Batterson is the pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C., and it's called Whisper. And if you, I just encourage you just to get a copy of it. It's so good. You can get it on Audible. He actually reads it on Audible. You can get it on Audible. You can get it from Libby at the library, if you know what Libby is, the app from the library. You can get it from the library. Or you can just, you know, buy it from Amazon or whatever it happens to be. And I would even say this, if you're like, oh, I'd like to have that book, but I can't afford it, just tell me, and we'll get the book for you. But it's I wish I had it, the money to just buy cases of them and give it. It's such a good book, and it's so well written, but it's about hearing the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Let's all stand together. Those of you at home, join us. You know, I'm going to tell you next week, or maybe the week after next. I thought I'd get a little further along, but the week after next, I'm going to tell you the story about Samuel learning how to hear the Lord, the Old Testament prophet Samuel. And in the account of Samuel learning how to hear the voice of the Lord, he has this simple little prayer, and I won't go into all the details, but it's a simple little prayer, and it's going to be up on your screen. And it says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." That ought to be when you open the scriptures. Speak, Lord, because I'm listening. You listen to the Bible. Some of you don't read the Bible. You listen to the Bible. As you listen to the Bible, speak, Lord, because I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. Can we pray that together? Lord, that's our prayer right now. We would just say, speak, your servant is listening. Speak, your servant is listening. Say it one more time. Speak, your servant is listening. God, there's probably not one of us in this room, even those that don't even know all of what I'm talking about or are brand new to this journey, that want to know what it is you're saying. To hear the sweet, lovely, encouraging, disciplining, transforming words that you want to speak to us. So we would just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Teach us over these weeks, a couple more weeks of this. Teach us how to hear what it is you're saying to us. Remove the resistance. And I think you're probably wrestling with some people today. They're going to walk out of here knowing, okay, he was talking about me. And not he, me. He, the Holy Spirit, was talking about that thing. Lord, that we'd remove the resistance so that we could hear clearly what it is you're saying. And Lord, we're going to sing a song. Sarah's going to lead us. And it's just an invitation for you to fall on us afresh. Your word says in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, to continually have the water of the Spirit poured into our lives. Lord, we got holes in our bucket. We leak. And we want you just to keep filling us up, and we need you to fill us up because we just leak constantly. We want you to take care of leaks, but we also want you just to pour the work of your Spirit in us. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. Let's sing this song together before we leave.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
That's our invitation. We pray that you do it. Fall afresh on us, Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on us. We want you to do your work. You say amen? Amen. There's some folks up here that are going to pray for you if you need prayer or want prayer. Don't leave here without getting prayed for you. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great afternoon.